1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us together. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you will just help us to understand what you have for us this evening. I pray that you'll just open our hearts, our understanding. Father, I pray that the folks here tonight will have a heart for what you're doing in the country of Latvia. Father, I pray that you would put it in their heart to pray for the work that you have there. And Father, I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My son Lucas just came back from Camp Kobiak. If you don't know where that is, that's a Christian camp up north by Houghton Lake. And they have different competitions, different things going on. And they had a competition. If you said enough verses, you could go to a pizza party. Okay, Lucas is the big kid in the middle there. And that pizza party motivated him to say how many verses? 58 verses. And I'm thinking, man, 58 verses. And then I thought about it. I looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Maybe this was one of them. I don't know. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, "Brethren, pray for us." There, we got one, right? "Brethren, pray for us." It's interesting. It's just kind of one sentence right there, one verse, very small verse. In the end of this letter that the Holy Spirit had Paul write to the church in Thessalonica, just an idea there, small sentence, "Brethren, pray for us." And I really do appreciate this church's financial support of the work in Latvia. I appreciate it. It's been faithful support, and we thank you for it. But I also appreciate your prayer support. And I know that there are people here that are praying. Your pastor stopped over for lunch this afternoon, and he saw Lucas and said, "Hey, how's the tailbone? How's your back?" And Lucas was like, "Who told you?" Lucas, I don't know if you knew or not, he broke his tailbone just before we had to fly home. And he asked Pastor, he said, "Who told you that was supposed to be a secret?" He said, "Well, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you." I said, "Luke, that's not a bad thing. Now listen, there's people that you don't even know that they're praying for you, but they're praying for you. And I appreciate that, Pastor. Thank you. And thanks, Mom and Dad, for sharing that with him. That's not something Luke wanted me to put, I don't know why, in the prayer letter. But we appreciate your prayer support. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for your missionaries and keep praying for us. In 2 Thessalonians, another letter was written to this church, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1, he repeats this again, this request, and he goes a little bit into more detail. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." So he's asking them for prayer support. And I just want to, this evening, recount some of the answered prayers that we've seen in Latvia for the last 15, 16 years. And so that we can understand that prayer is very important. I remember when we finished Bible school, and we started deputation, and we asked people to pray that we could hurry up and get to the field. And 18 months later, we were able to go to Latvia. And it's because people were praying. Not just because they were giving, but they were praying for us and our family so that we could go and get to the field. And I remember when we went to Latvia, there were no other missionaries there waiting for us. There was no mission board or beachhead already set up for missionaries. When we got there, it was pretty much, we'll see when we get off the plane. And there were people praying for us. And there were long-lost relatives who met us at the airport. And they gave us a place to live. And one of those relatives happened to be a school teacher. And the school teacher was willing to teach us the Latvian language. There were no schools you could go to learn Latvian. God prepared this wonderful lady who was, her name's Zintra. She was just willing to do that and put a big effort, months of her life, into helping Linda and I learn the Latvian language. And we know that that was an answer to God's prayer. Nothing like this just kind of fits together. And we praise the Lord for it. I remember we were looking for a house when we first got there. There really weren't very many houses for sale. The economy was, it was really strange at that time. The Soviet Union had just broken up. And nobody really even knew if the currency was going to hold another year. There were so many question marks. Nobody was selling property. But one of our relatives just happened to overhear someone saying that they wanted to sell their house. And we showed up, and another guy, while he was showing me a house, another man showed up to buy it. And while we were down in the basement, he was showing me some things. I saw the other car pull in. I said, "We'll take it." And it turned out to be good. It was a wonderful thing. And I know that that was God's leading and God helping us every step of the way. I remember when we were starting our church, when we were planning this church, we weren't working with another missionary. It was kind of just what I had learned in Bible college and seminary, which wasn't very much when you come down to the very, you know, just the everyday workings of how you do this. And God helped every step of the way. I remember we got to the point where some people were saved and they were coming to our Bible studies, and we wanted to establish a church. And we told them they needed to be baptized. And they looked at us and said, "No, we don't want to do that." And they always had learned that you baptize little babies. And I showed them in the Bible where people are hear the gospel, they believe, and then they're baptized. And they're like, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, "Well, baptized means to be immersed, to go under the water." And they're like, "You're going to dunk us?" And I said, "Well, that's baptism." And they're like, "I don't know." And I thought, you know, if they're not going to be baptized, we can't go forward with a church. And I remember I came home, and I've shared this story before, but it's just such a powerful testimony, the folks at home praying. I came home and told some folks at my home church about it, some of the men of the church, and they said, "Well, we need to pray about that." And they knelt down with me right on the front pew, and they prayed that these folks would be baptized, that they'd want to be baptized. I flew back to Latvia, and I preached a sermon. It wasn't on baptism. And at the end of the sermon, I just kind of asked them, I said, "Does anybody here feel like they need to be baptized?" And seven of those people raised their hand and said, "We want to be baptized." And I know God showed it to me that it happened just like that, so He would convince me without a doubt that the folks that send missionaries need to pray for those missionaries. It's not just a matter of the mechanics of going and showing up, but it's spiritual work. It's a spiritual battle. And God needs to open the eyes of the lost and help them to see that they're sinners, help them to understand that this is truth. And if it has to be with prayer. And so it's a wonderful thing that you send missionaries. But it's a responsibility that you also have to pray for those missionaries. And listen, when you pray, God answers those prayers. Things happen. I've seen it. And I want you to know, and I want to encourage you to continue to pray, not just for this missionary, but for all the missionaries that you send, for your pastor who preaches on Sunday, for the Sunday school workers that are working with the kids and the youth, for the men who go into the prisons. Pray for them. It's a spiritual battle, and they need your prayers. I remember when the church was founded and started to grow, it was time to build a building. And we had really, starting from zero, and we prayed for a piece of land. And the folks here prayed for a piece of land. It was such a big thing. I said, well, let's not pray for the whole building. Let's just start with a piece of land somewhere. And you prayed for a piece of land, and the city gave us a piece of land to build on. It was just, why would they do that? I still don't know. But it was answered prayer. I remember there was a mission group, youth group from our home church came to Latvia. And they went to that piece of land. And the last day of their trip, they made a big circle holding hands. And they prayed that there would be a church building on that piece of land. Then they packed up and went home. Left us with the work. But it was God. Listen, there was an offering that came in that was able to get that land ready, to put a foundation in, to bring all the electricity in. Things that got so expensive we couldn't even imagine what happened in Latvia during our boom time. Prices just went through the roof on everything. It was the worst time in the history of that country to build anything. There were contractors stopping by job sites, walking up to masons and saying, I'll pay you double if you leave with me right now. They drop their tools and leave. That was the climate we were building in. And the folks at home prayed. And those walls went up. God brought people from all different places to help with that building. I remember we had gotten the walls up and the roof on and the drywall was up and we needed paint. And we were stuck. We didn't have any money for paint. And we decided to pray about it. And I mentioned something in some of my letters and, you know, pray. We're still building. We need some finances. And Emily was working at one of the orphanages and there were a couple ladies from Texas that went to the orphanage to work with the kids. And they heard Emily speak English and they thought, wow, you really speak good English. How did an orphan learn such good English? He's like, well, I'm not an orphan. I'm from America. I'm a missionary kid. And they're like, really? And they're like, well, what are you doing? What's your dad do here? And it's like, oh, he's building that church down there. And they said, well, we'd like to meet him. And so they came into the church and walked in and said, wow, this is incredible. This is really nice. And why are the walls all gray? I said, well, that's just drywall. We need paint. She said, well, let's go to the store. We're going to buy the paint. And they took us to the hardware store and they bought all the paint to paint the inside of the building. And it was just answered prayer. I remember before we got the building permit, the city said, you got to have a nice driveway and walkway because of the land that we gave you. It's right on an area where everybody's going to see it, where everybody goes by. They said, you got to have a brick driveway. It's got to be paver bricks. And I thought, that's the most expensive driveway you could buy. And they said, no driveway, no permit. I thought, we're going to need to pray about it. We got to pray about it. And the folks at home were praying about it. And there was a retired pastor visiting Latvia. And again, by chance, he ended up at our church. And we started talking. It wasn't a Sunday or anything. We started talking and he said, wow, this is a really nice building, a beautiful project. God's really blessing here. He said, what do you guys need now? I said, well, we're praying for this driveway. And the more I got to talk to him, I found out he graduated the same Bible college I graduated, only 50 years earlier. And he said, hey, we went to the same Bible school. We should probably know some of the same people. He said, I know a lot of guys who are now, they're retired, but they're pastor emeritus. And they sit on one board or another in their church. He said, I'm going to go home and make some phone calls. And these guys are going to get that parking lot for you. I thought, wow, we'll see. And after a couple weeks, he called back. He said, go ahead, go with it. You have the funds. And it was just an incredible thing to see how God once again answered prayer. And he answers prayer. Last time we were home, the building was pretty much finished. And we were praying that God would prepare young men to be preachers. Up until that time, I had done all the preaching, all the teaching, all the Bible studies, all the everything. And it was my heart that God would call young men to do that job. Not that I don't want to do it anymore, but it's my desire that God would call Latvian young men to minister in the church. And there were no real candidates that I could see. Well, maybe one. And I'd already been praying for him for a long time. I just didn't know about that guy. And our last time home, we shared that need with a lot of our churches and a lot of people that are interested in that work. And Linda was praying for somebody that could help with the children's ministries. And so some of you were praying, and we were praying, and that young man, Martinch, is now in full-time ministry. He's in full-time evangelism. And it's amazing what God has done in his life and how he has such a zeal and such a desire to tell other people about how to be saved, about how to go to heaven, about what Jesus Christ did for him on the cross. And he was able to find an organization in Great Britain that trains young people, trains old people, trains anybody to, it's called open air evangelism, just to go on the streets and to share the gospel. And God's directed him into that area. And now whenever we have evangelism services, vacation Bible schools, we had our vacation Bible school last week in Latvia, and Martinch was the one there giving the gospel. I tell you, that was answered prayer. Now, sometimes God answers prayer in a big way that you don't understand how he did it. Just before we left, the church voted on a new member, another Martinch. He's Martinch number two. And this young fella, he came to our church. He was in a charismatic movement for a while and just felt that that's not where he needed to be. And he found our church. And he came into our church and said, "This is where I need to be. This is where I want to be. This is where God wants me to be." And this young fella, he's an interesting guy. Before we left, Lucas, he always sits up in the sound booth, my son Lucas. And he does all the audio, visual, and everything. And we were thinking, who's going to do that when we leave? Lucas was thinking, who's going to do that when we leave? We don't have anybody to do this when we leave. And this young fella, he's a tech wizard. And since he's been coming to our church, which is just very recently, he's made a new web page. He does all the audio visuals since Lucas is here. Just a perfect young man to take over. Our vacation Bible school was run by a young lady named Elena, who was willing to take on all the responsibility to organize a week-long vacation Bible school. And God has prepared her for that ministry. Another young lady named Eva is now in charge of the Sunday school. This young lady's probably, how old is she? 17. And she's got a real heart. And she's dedicated. And she's been trained. And she's willing to learn more. And she feels that this is what God has called her to do. And it's a wonderful thing, because a few months ago, it was a question of what's going to happen to the Sunday school. A couple years ago, God has also sent other young men into our church that have had a desire to teach God's word. And so now there's probably 3-4 men that God has raised up to teach God's word in Latvia. This is huge. This was something that was, I thought, how in the world where is this going to come from? And God brought it to our church. And I know it's because people have been praying. And God answers prayer. This passage of Scripture says, "Brethren, pray for us." And in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." This prayer request that he had, that the gospel would be spread and that God's word would be honored and glorified was answered. He said, pray for us that we can preach the gospel, that it would spread, that the gospel would be glorified. That means that people would receive it as the word of God. When they preached, when they spoke from this book, people would say, he's just not talking some kind of theory, but he's delivering the word of God, a word from our Creator, a word that will change our soul's destiny, whether it's heaven or hell. And they received it with that spirit. And it was answered prayer. And I want to encourage you to pray for us as we go back to Latvia this next term. Pray for us that as the word is preached from the pulpit on Sunday, when Martins is given the gospel, whether it's on the street or vacation Bible school, that God's word would be glorified. That people would see it not as Martins speaking, not as Janis speaking, or Andres, the other men in our church, but when they stand up to preach this word, when they go out to witness, that God's word would be glorified. Will you pray for that? Pray for us. Pray that God's word would be glorified. Listen, there's now 4 or 5 preachers in this church that are willing to stand and to preach. Pray that God's word would be glorified, that as people would hear it, they wouldn't say, ah, that's just another theory. Ah, that's just another crazy person talking loud. But that God's Spirit would take that word and that He would open people's understanding and that they would see that that's truth and that they need to hear that. Pray for us. And when we come back next time, let's see how God has answered that prayer. And I want to tell you, pray for your pastor. Pray for those in your church who are preaching God's word, who are teaching God's word. Pray that as they teach this word, it'll go forth in power and in the Holy Spirit's power, and that people's eyes would be open and that there'd be wonderful fruit. This passage of Scripture says to pray for it. God answers prayer. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that we can be a part of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank You that You've saved us. We thank You that heaven's our home. We thank You that we don't have to die and go to hell. But Father, that's not something that should be a secret. Father, it's something that the world needs to hear. So Father, I pray that You will prepare our hearts, do what You need to do in our lives so that we can be usable, Father, so that we can do this work in the power of Your Spirit. And Father, I pray for those young men in Latvia who even today have stood and have proclaimed Your word. Father, I pray that You would give them a special filling of Your Spirit. Father, I pray that Your word would be glorified in that church. And Father, I pray that Your word would be glorified in this church. And Father, that we'd be able to see much fruit for Your glory. And we thank You that we can be a part of this work. We thank You for answered prayer. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.